Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD. This is our bracket rundown show. I am your host, Chad Sherwood, joined by, I think we got John Titel and Joby Fortson up here. David Griggs, who just switched places on the screen somehow down below.
Yeah, I have the ability to do that.
Along with joining us again from bracketeer.org, Rocco Miller. John Stalika should also be along in a few minutes here joining us this evening. But this is the bus. He missed the bus.
Well, I don't. He's late.
Oh, okay. This is our bracket rundown show where we're going to build something called a seed list. And David, can you start off by telling everybody what a seed list is?
In its basic form, it is essentially a ranking of all the teams that the committee selects for the NCAA tournament 1 through 68. We are not doing the selection process the way the committee does it. It's similar, but not the same. What we are essentially doing is we're going to build roughly 12 to 13 lines of that. We're going to keep going and going and going until we run out of at-large bids. And we're going to do it line by line. The format is, I think Chad's going to call on somebody. We're going to share what four teams think should be on that line. And the other panels will critique that, agree with it, disagree with it, and throw out who they think should be on the line, and then Chad will arbitrarily decide who gets to go on the line. I don't understand why Chad's the arbitrary. Well,
I actually have a real good way I pick teams, actually, David, these shows. Whoever you like is who I pick against.
Well, that's the problem I have with the show. My genius is not appreciated, and Chad continues to veto me, but it's light, it's loose. We're going to look at all the teams, we're going to discuss them, we're going to argue them, we're going to yell at each other about them. It's going to be fun. So that's essentially kind of what we're doing. And you can see on the screen there, well, it's blank right now, but that's kind of what we're looking at.
Right. That is what we're going to do. We're going to fill probably the first 12 lines, the last 13 through 16 I'll fill in at the very end of the show. I've already pre-selected those teams. Right. Just by way of a few terms we're going to use tonight, we're going to use the term protected seed. That means anybody on these top four lines here.
Yeah.
We might use the term first ballot team. That's more about the top eight lines. Teams that are wearing white would be favored to win their first round games in the NCAA tournament. And bubble teams, which are the teams that are right on the verge of whether they're in or out. And we'll be discussing them towards the end of the show.
Yeah.
And on that note, I want to go through and I've kind of randomly selected an order here and to start naming four teams in a row, and Joby.
First. No, no!
I wanted to start with you tonight.
Well, I'm glad you did because you know my first team is close to my heart. So,
Michigan?
Number one, UVA.
Okay.
Virginia, and it is close between them and Michigan, the other undefeated team. I mean, in all honesty, you could probably have debates all day long, and Virginia's string of great wins has done that. This one's going to be the controversy. I am going to stick with the J&G ratings on this. I am, because of Duke normally would have been here, but the loss to Syracuse pushes them down. I go with Kansas over the team that they beat, Tennessee. And I'm more than happy to defend the Kansas. Kansas has wins over what will somewhat look like for our seed list, a one seed, Tennessee, 2 seed Michigan State. I mean, it's a remark. They've beaten a 1, a 2, a 3, a 4, a 5. If you say where Villanova is, another team in the tournament, TCU, a bubble team in Baylor, and a probably at large chosen or not a auto bid, but NIT capable team in New Mexico State. It's a remarkable list of wins. It's just the power of the resume. Yes, a one-loss Duke would have been over a two-loss Kansas, but for now, the strength of all those wins lets me put them 3 ahead of the fourth team that they beat, Tennessee.
Well, Tita, let me start with you for a little critique here. I understand Joby's point of all those great wins, but you also only won true road win for Kansas.
Right.
But what do you think about Kansas versus Tennessee or somebody else potentially for on this one line?
Just like ASU ruins everyone's life every year, they're ruining Kansas. No, you look at Tier 1, and you can't argue with Joby about Tier 1 because they have the most impressive Tier 1 of anybody. In contrast, and the rankings are amazing. It's a lot of number ones across the board. It's hard to say that Tennessee or Michigan State should be ahead of Kansas because of the fact that they both lost to Kansas. But that being said, like, they're both having great seasons. So while I'm not opposed to Kansas, especially now that they're going to be having the Azubuike absence factor to excuse away any losses they have, I think a good argument can be made for the Sparty and the Vols.
All right, Rocco, there's Tennessee. Let me also throw Michigan State up here. Would you argue that Michigan State belongs on that one line or somebody else even?
Somebody else.
Michigan State would be the next team I bring to the table, but I think the four one seeds that you guys have discussed this far are the same four I have. And I think the last spot right now is between Michigan State and Kansas. But because the fact Kansas beat them and Kansas has the Marquette on a neutral court win and the Tennessee win, even though Michigan State picked up a great win tonight, I just can't put them above Kansas.
And let me also add with that, I evaluate teams with the snapshot of today. If Kansas falls apart without Azubuike, that certainly could play a role. But as of right now, without him, they are winning. They have beaten TCU. They have, you know, they've beaten the teams for the most part in front of them after the injury. This certainly would most likely, and it could change dramatically if they show they are not the same team without him.
Right. And
they have not. They are a good team.
And when you put the asterisk next to games for teams that are missing somebody, my opinion, I only put that there if it's a player that's out for one or two games and is going to be on your tournament roster. Azubuike won't be on that tournament roster.
Right.
So I'm not going to, you know, discount any losses from here on out because this is the tournament roster that's playing from here on out. Unless they get to Silvio.
Or they have to do those losses. And I'm not going to count chickens until it actually happens.
Well, we got another team that I think we need to look at, and that's Gonzaga.
Put them over here instead of Michigan State on the left side. So
yeah.
go ahead. I'll give you a chance to make your case for Gonzaga, who beat Duke, and what else did they do? Go ahead.
Well,
tell me.
Okay, they've won quite a bit away from home. They had the nice win at San Francisco.
Two road wins.
One of their losses is to Tennessee, who's also on the one line, and it also came when they were hurt, not at full strength, which they're getting to full strength.
Okay.
The other loss at North Carolina, I can't fault them too much for that when you look at some of the other losses on the one line. I mean, Kansas went to Iowa State and got clobbered.
Okay, so you want to have them ahead of Tennessee who beat them?
No, I would have them behind Tennessee.
Okay, and who would you have? So who would you knock off of Joby's picks?
I have Michigan. Who's this? Well, Kansas,
Michigan, Virginia,
certainly.
And Kansas. Kansas.
Yeah, okay. It would be Michigan, Virginia, Tennessee, and Gonzaga. That's who it should be. Let's put them up there and move on.
So you want a team with one win against a team that is solidly in the field over a team with 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 5 wins against teams that are solidly in the field?
Well, solidly. I mean,
including wins over Tennessee and Michigan State.
To be honest.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, Kansas with the injuries, and Kansas, like, their losses are a lot worse.
Their losses at Iowa State versus at North Carolina. I mean, I give you the at Arizona State loss is a bad loss, but
at Iowa State by about a million.
You haven't convinced me.
Well, you're wrong, Chad. Chad, you are putting Gonzaga up on the one line.
Rocco,
I don't think he is.
Rocco, do you think there's any argument for Gonzaga to be on the one line right now?
Not right now. I mean, I think if we're in agreement on we're judging off of what's happened so far, not predicting Kansas' future, I don't think you can put him above Gonzaga right now.
And on that, I would note that, you know, Gonzaga, I expect them to probably win every single regular season game left.
Yeah.
If they do that, I think they're a shoo-in for a one seed. But they got to get there because other teams will fall and drop down below them. But anyhow, Tytel, let me go over to you for the two line.
So let's put Gonzaga on there before the puppet loses it. let's get Sparty in there because I think they are worthy. As far as a couple others, I think that We've got the two undefeateds. We've got – do we not have Duke up there? Let's throw Duke up there, even though there's a whole thing about the injuries, both – I don't know about Reddish's illness, Zion's eye, Jones's shoulder. I mean, they could have, like, one superstar freshman against Virginia. Right now they're favored by two. I don't think they're going to win that game, but that's for a separate conversation. And then the fourth team, I think that there's nobody head and shoulders because we saw Virginia Tech get destroyed by Joby's boys. Texas Tech has looked beatable. The Tar Heels got destroyed at home by Louisville. So I don't think there's any one team that is head and shoulders a two seed here. I would go with either of the ACC schools, Virginia Tech or Carolina, but I would certainly not feel great about either of them.
You want to make a pick here or just flip a coin?
Well, let's throw Carolina up there because Duke and them are separated by 8 miles of tobacco road.
Okay, I've got a team to throw out there. How about the team that won at Carolina, Kentucky?
I thought you were going to say Louisville. So no.
Well, no. I mean, I have Louisville rather high, but
Kentucky did boat race. To use the boat race term, that particular Louisville team. So
they did. Well, I and again, like when you put them next to North Carolina, if we can do that.
Yep.
I mean, they.
I like Carolina's resume a little more, but you're right on the head-to-head.
Yeah, and it was on the road. I mean, it was a real impressive showing. They have the win.
But well, did North Carolina beat Gonzaga?
Yeah, at home.
It was a one seed?
It was a one seed.
Yeah, but and then Kentucky beat them. So, I mean, that's why Gonzaga is a one.
And then Kentucky lost to Alabama, so Alabama's a one.
Oh, shut up. But anyway,
Alabama's in this field, Chad.
I might agree with you there, but they're not a one seed.
Yeah, okay, so North Carolina has the home win against Gonzaga, and their next the win at NC State was pretty good. But other than that, there just is – I mean, I like North Carolina neutral and Louisville on the road better than Gonzaga at home and at NC State.
Well, Rocco, how about this debate? Should we talk at Virginia Tech or Texas Tech with the other two teams that were mentioned instead also?
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm looking at Kentucky closer. I'm leaning Kentucky, but I actually – coming into the show, I had Texas Tech still holding on to the 8th spot on the seed list. The reason for it is they've lost the two games. They did not losing at home is not a good thing, so I do give them – I dock them a point there for that. But they played really well, and they've got three really quality wins with Nebraska on a neutral court at Texas and Oklahoma at home. And now that Kansas State win looks a lot better than it did last week. So,
And Memphis too.
So, yeah, but the Kentucky's a little bit sexier just with the Louisville and North Carolina story. So, I'd say flip a coin on that one.
All right, well, Tytel, let me go back to you here because Kentucky was not a team you mentioned. Is there a reason why you weren't mentioning Kentucky here?
I have them as a three seed, so I would not lose sleep about putting them as a two seed.
All right. Well, you know what? I hate to do it, but I'm going to agree with David here. I'm going to bounce.
Well, you should.
Bounce and Carolina.
I think we need to flip Gonzaga and Kansas as well.
I'm going to put Kentucky in, and I just saw we got John Slica joining us. Slica, welcome much of the show, and do you want to jump in here and grab the three line for us? Do we have Stalika? I guess we don't have him. I thought I saw him.
Good picks. John Stalika coming strong.
All right. While we try to get him back, Rocco, let me turn to you instead for the three line.
Okay. Let's give it a shot. Okay. So I'll start with Texas Tech in this case. And then I've got the two probably most controversial teams in this area that I'll throw out there next. And that would be Houston and Nevada. I guarantee I understand that both of these resumes are built on more of a quicksand foundation than concrete. But for the time being, they are hanging around with one loss. So, and then I'll go North Carolina for the fourth one.
Okay. Joby, you seem to have a comment on this.
I was agreeing because I didn't think other people would agree with me on the Houston component. I actually think Houston, this is about where they should be. Another team considered, though I agree with Rocco's order A team that we'll be mentioning later is Buffalo is also another team with one loss with a smattering of good wins, not a whole host of them. But Houston has the LSU win. Houston, you know, has only lost to a Temple team, which we'll be talking about in this field. One loss means something right now. It could all, in Rocco's quicksand, you know, however you want to, whatever analogy you want to do it, is very apt. But until the, you know, until the little kid shouts the emperor has no clothes, the emperor is still walking around just fine in Houston, Texas.
Okay. We have the two profiles on the screen right now. LSU at home is decent. Oklahoma State is not an NIT team. And then I don't think anybody else that on Houston's resume is even in the tournament. Looking at Nevada, I don't think anybody they've beaten is in the tournament either. And when you look at teams like Marquette, Iowa State, Louisville, Maryland, it's not just that they've done one or two things, it's that they've done a lot of things that are better than what both of these teams have done. And let's – I mean, again, I'm a little hung up on getting blasted off of planet Earth at New Mexico and then needing a three-point shot to beat Boise at the buzzer.
I'm a little more on board with the Houston than Nevada for that reason, David. I will say this. But still, I'm here defending Houston, not really Nevada. I'd actually have Buffalo because of the Syracuse win ahead of Nevada. But that's – I'm not here to really – be nitpicky. I think this is around the area where you discuss.
Yeah, it's hard because I think, you know, in a predictive setting, I would say, but I think Buffalo is a better team than Houston on the court. And I think Nevada is probably the best of the three on the court. But, you know, all these teams tried to schedule well besides Houston. And Nevada just backfired because the Pac-12 was so down. I think they had four Pac-12 opponents.
Yeah.
None of them ended up doing that great. And then they tried to throw in, like, the Utah State, the Fresno's
Frank Haith at Tulsa.
Southern they had the draw with Loyola Chicago. So
Boise State on the road is in conference. Yeah, they looked like crap in that game.
They did.
But they tried to schedule hard. South Dakota State's another one they added at the last second. I think Nevada tried hard, and I think they have a nucleus back from a Sweet 16 team. And that should give the committee confidence to give them a good seed, even if you don't know.
Yeah. I think everybody tries hard. I mean, Texas Southern has tried hard to win all their games.
Let me ask a question. Let me ask you on this here. By talking to these teams, Buffalo, Houston, Nevada, are we a little bit too early when we have teams like Marquette and Virginia Tech that we don't have in this field?
A little. This is kind of, I think, looking forward that, like, if you think these teams are going to go, like, 30-2, then they do deserve to be a top four seed. But if you think not, then Virginia Tech and Marquette are going to pile up a bunch of quality wins during conference play that the other schools that you just mentioned won't. So, again, that's a crystal ball question.
Okay, Virginia Tech has they're running a little low on quality wins. There's maybe
didn't we just say Buffalo, Houston, and Nevada were also running low on quality wins?
Yes, I don't have them up here either.
Okay. Well, David, you would have Marquette up here then.
Marquette, Iowa State, and Louisville.
Who does have a win over Buffalo, which is interesting. And one loss Buffalo got was from Marquette, and I'm a big Marquette fan.
And Rocco, maybe I go back to you because these were your picks. What about teams like Virginia Tech, Marquette, or David mentioned, I think, Iowa State, instead of those two picks that were controversial?
I got Virginia Tech and Marquette as my next two after these four. And then I do have Iowa State a little bit further down. So I'm not ready to really throw them in yet. But I would be okay with doing some swap if you feel like that's the right thing to do. Because I really don't think Houston, Nevada are quality. I mean, Nevada could be a three seed, but I really don't think Houston's going to stay here very much longer in the discussion.
I'm kind of inclined to go with let's take Houston and Nevada out, replacing them with Marquette and Virginia Tech.
Oh, Virginia Tech. Oh, my God. I have Virginia Tech way down the list.
Well, you can be wrong, David, which you are.
No, you're. I mean, Virginia Tech does not belong on this board. Well, okay, I was going to – on this column.
On this board, okay. Do we have Stalica? No, we still don't have him. David, you're going to get the next line because we're still trying to figure out where his
And David gets to list off all the one-loss teams he just panned.
Okay, so we've got – here's who's going on. This is like Iowa State, Louisville, Maryland. And I actually have, because of what they've done the past week away from home, Kansas State all the way up here.
Wow.
And I have them ahead of Virginia Tech because they have two really good wins as opposed to one decent win.
Tytel, let me start with you. Can you please do something about this line?
So I like the Maryland pick. I don't even know if I had them on my board a couple weeks ago, but they're just kicking butt in the Big Ten. So bravo to them. I don't know if they're going to – if they've peaked. I don't know if they have Michigan State caliber – talent, but they've had an amazing year, and I think Mark Turgeon might have saved his job because I think he was really on the hot seat. That being said, I think that, just quickly to go back to Marquette, if Marcus Howard is out for any period of time, then you all better readjust your seed list accordingly. As far as Kansas State, we talk about injuries. Dean Wade coming back. Sadly, I cut him from one of my fantasy teams a month ago because I thought he was going to be out for 2 months. Unfortunately for me, he's only out for 1 month. Fortunately for Kansas State, he's back. He's scoring 20 a game almost instantly off in his first or second game back. So I think that this team can do damage in a Big 12 that has been up and down with TCU and Texas Tech and stuff. So I don't think they're this high, but they have the potential to be this high, specifically because they're bringing back a potential Big 12 player of the year in Dean Wade.
And I want to say this for K-State. I'm pretty sure they're the only team that's won at Iowa State, a place where Kansas failed to win by a little bit. And they're the only team that's won at Oklahoma, I think. So if those two teams have no losses other than the K-State, and I don't understand how you can look just based on that they're better than Virginia Tech. I mean, they do have their losses at Texas Tech really high already in, at Marquette already in. And you know, they have the Tulsa loss, which admittedly should count as about five losses.
You got twice as many losses. You have the same number of top-tier wins. Now, the road is supposed to be
neutral. Yeah, but, like, those two wins are way more.
Purdue on a neutral court.
Purdue has lost seven games. Yeah. Like, Iowa State has not lost any at home, and neither has Oklahoma. I don't think Purdue comes – I mean –
Louisville's lost five games. You just put them in.
What's that?
Louisville's lost five games. You put them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, but I mean they've.
So the rules only apply when you want them when they favor you.
Well, look at the five games they've lost. I mean, I don't think I have Pittsburgh. I have them ahead of anybody that beat them.
Pittsburgh. You know,
Pittsburgh. Yeah, you're right. Okay. So four of the teams that beat them, I already have in.
Rocco, I'm not going to keep Kansas State on this line. Who should I have there instead?
Oh, God. Well, I do like the Maryland pick for the same reasons Tytel said. We threw Virginia Tech. I had the Houston and the Nevada picks last time.
Okay.
And then
– You are leaving Kansas State up there, Chad.
I do like you brought it up. And then I think I'm kind of in a tie for that last spot between Buffalo and Oklahoma.
Yeah, why haven't we put Oklahoma in yet?
I don't know. Guess who won at Oklahoma, by the way, if we're discussing.
Joby, what about putting the Sooners here if we're not going to go with one of those one-loss
teams? I'm actually very open to putting Oklahoma in, but this is where I go back to what Rocco was talking about in the three.
Hey, look at Oklahoma's record. They're 7-1 at home. Who beat them?
But whether it's eye test, the one-loss means something. Houston, Nevada, Buffalo, that's where I go. I don't mind Oklahoma. They don't have – their losses are, you know, pretty good except for Kansas State, that team that barely is wearing white in my bracket. But they don't have the depth maybe of wins for a team with four losses, like a Marquette, which I really do like, the Maryland, which Tytel mentioned. You know, TCU, Wofford, or bubble teams – Florida is nowhere near the field. Let's just get that clear. Florida is not a 9-7 team with no wins versus the field is nowhere near it. Not even close. So Florida, you can wipe off the map right now. And same with Northwestern. So it's Oklahoma's and Creighton's actually Creighton and North Texas are better wins than Florida and Northwestern. But the regardless of the tiers, I think Oklahoma's good. Not yet. They should be mentioned in a line or two. I like what Rocco was mentioning on the prior line more with those one loss teams because they haven't made a mistake, even if they have minimal but some success.
I'll tell you the one loss team I like the best. The win at Syracuse by Buffalo is better than anything Houston or Nevada has done. The loss, loss for Buffalo was Marquette, who is already in this field. Yeah. Houston's and Nevada losses are teams that are not yet in the field, and not in Nevada's case, won't even will not be in the field. I think we go Buffalo here.
I like that.
I'm fine with that reasoning.
All right. Since we still have no Stalica, Joby, let me circle back around to you for line number five.
All right. Let's take some of the teams we talked about. I will follow with the Houston, Nevada. I'll throw Oklahoma in now.
Okay.
And
did you go Kansas State also? Or
no. Okay. No, I don't like Kansas State right now.
Okay.
I am very torn, and I know that this is five. This number 20 on the five line is as high as I'd ever have them. I just don't like them. I bet
they don't have two road wins.
I'm debating with Auburn is what I'm debating on.
Oh, my God.
And I think I'll go Iowa instead.
Iowa.
Iowa, not Iowa. Iowa, not Kansas.
Okay.
Okay, who have we put in the field that has two true road wins against ranked teams? Who have we put in the field that has two true road wins against teams that we've already put in the field?
I think David's making a good point on this line, Tytel. What do you think? This Iowa versus K-State argument or maybe somebody else?
Joby likes Iowa a lot more than I do. So between these two, I will go with Kansas State. But I really think that if you like Wildcats, that I would take some of the national champion variety rather than the purple variety.
That's fair enough. I'd be fine with Villanova here.
Certainly not the red and blue variety, for God's sake.
Yeah, Rocco, you want to break this tie here? Iowa, Kansas State, Villanova. You know, Villanova has two wins against, well, two, three.
The Penn
loss. Yeah, they have.
Tytel's alma mater lost.
Florida State. They lost to Furman and at Penn. And
yeah, they have worse losses than K-State for sure.
Yeah.
I've been staring ever since David's been talking for however long he's been talking. I've been staring at this Kansas State profile on Warren Nolan's site, and I mean, it does look better if you can just get past the Tulsa loss and the home loss to Texas by 20. and I do think scoring margin is going to matter a little bit more than usual, but. Yeah, that's tough. I do have Iowa higher, but I am leaning towards Kansas State now.
Yeah. Oh,
I will say this in defense of David, too, is Georgia State is a lot better than a Tier 3 win. Georgia State's much better than people give it credit for.
Yeah, Georgia State's a team that I think could toe the 12 line right now. So, yeah.
And K-State really is. And a week ago, I didn't even have them in when we did this a week ago. So that's just how much my opinion has changed of them. But in all honesty, I know that we love beating up on K-State and Bruce Weber. They are the only team that has two true road wins against top 25 teams.
And I'll give you that, David. I think K-State does go on this five line. And I think that is our five line. But, Tytel, let me go over to you now for a six line.
Is Nevada in yet?
Oh. So I'll follow Joby's lead. I want to get Auburn, at least their rankings up here, because I think that they start to belong in the conversation. When you beat teams like all of the Pac-12, which anybody can beat, but also Murray State, which, God forbid, yeah. Can you imagine if Murray State becomes Auburn's best win? Unbelievable.
Murray State is Auburn's best win.
Sad to say.
We talked about this on the Hoops HD report earlier in the week. I don't have Auburn in the top half of my bracket because they haven't beaten anybody that's in my bracket. They've proven they can beat NIT teams or worse at home. That's all they've done. They needed some of their wins, they didn't even win easily. They had to sweat out Murray. They needed overtime to beat UAB for crying out loud. They've not done anything.
Except have a good loss against Duke.
Well, yeah. I mean,
I hate the term good loss. I say that very subjectively.
I mean, yeah, there's nothing wrong with any of their losses, though. And that's.
Okay, I'll give. Yeah.
And honestly, the Arizona's win's a better win than the Murray win.
You think it is? Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, not a great win, especially with what Arizona was doing.
Well, at least Arizona was in Maui, and Murray State was on
Okay, I stand corrected. Beating Arizona on a neutral floor was at least something. That's a little more than what I was giving him credit.
All right. Well, John, let me go back to you, though. That's one team at Auburn. How about three more?
Villanova, all four of their metrics are better than Kansas State, so please get them in here. Thank you very much.
There you go.
I think we need to get some ACC team in here. I'm going with NC State, but if you want to go Florida State, I get it. And I think we have to get a Big Ten team in here. There's several to pick from.
Yeah.
I'll go with the Badgers, but if you want to go Tim Miles or the Hoosiers, I wouldn't be opposed.
You wouldn't go Iowa, though.
If you want to throw their profile and compare it to other Big Ten teams, I'm happy to let you. But I think they're getting there. I just don't think they're there just yet.
Yeah, Chad, can we pull up Auburn and NC State?
The issue I have with Indiana is three losses in a row. I know there's not a recency test, but those three losses in a row really worry me about the Hoosiers. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, and I'm not beating up on Tytel individually. Well, I am, but, I mean, I'm beating up on everyone. So, I just don't see why these teams are – like, when you look at what they've done, they've beaten NIT teams, and the voters love them, and the bracketologists love them, and apparently we at Hoops HD love them. I'm just not big on either one of them. I have them in the field, but there are so many teams that have done more and looked better.
And here's what I point out for NC State. Look at that blue column. Look at the last number in that blue column. The NCAA Tournament Selection Committee will crucify them. They will be crucified for their – how many teams are in Division One?
353.
Yeah, that's my point. Yeah. Oh, my God. 349 is – this is – this makes Georgetown look like they are scheduling like Kansas. Come on.
Rocco, I've kind of been convinced out of both Auburn and NC State on this line. I do think Villanova belongs there. Wisconsin probably belongs there as well. But who would you – is there teams that you think you want to convince me should belong here over this Auburn and NC State? Is it some of these teams that we mentioned, like Iowa, Indiana, Nebraska?
I agree with Tytel that we got to get Villanova in. And yeah. and I do still have Florida State in this range. I know that they lost to Pitt and Duke, but, I mean, I think their profile is just a little bit stronger than, like, Auburn and NC State. And then how many spots does that leave? Was there one more still?
That would still leave at least one more, yeah.
Yeah, and then I would still like a team like Louisville above Auburn and NC State as well.
Didn't we get Louisville? Did we not get Louisville in? We got Louisville in, yeah.
Oh, thank God.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. That one slipped in there. I didn't even notice.
Can we take a second to appreciate that Pitt went from a winless ACC season to a Tier 1 loss this year? Unbelievable. Yes.
Yeah, that is great job. The absence of Kevin Stallings is dividends at Pitt.
Well, let me throw up a team here. I know they just lost this evening, but
Nebraska.
What about Nebraska here? Two wins at Indiana, at Clemson. Clemson may not be in this field, but they're close. They're going to be discussed tonight at some point.
Yeah, and then Chad, I would also throw in since Nebraska did lose tonight, and LSU is coming off a big win at Ole Miss. This might be a time to talk about LSU. Right.
Yes, I agree with that.
I mean, they've done more than.
They won at Ole Miss. They beat an Alabama team. They beat two SoCon teams that are actually pretty darn good teams.
They just won at Arkansas as well.
And they just won at Arkansas. And, you know, neutral court to Oklahoma State's not horrible, even though it was a 13-point loss. But, Tytel, what about that? What about LSU or Nebraska here instead of some of those teams?
Fair points, and I don't have them too much farther in my bracket, so I'm not opposed to them here. I just had them a little lower, but I think they're in the conversation in this seed range.
All right, let's we have Villanova.
Oh, yeah, we've got Villanova.
LSU, Nebraska, and Wisconsin. How about that, David?
Looks good to me. Do we have Oklahoma in yet?
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to delete as I go along. But, yeah, I like that line. I like that line.
NC State and Auburn both under consideration. I think we threw Nebraska in, so they should come off of that under consideration board there. Rocco, let me go to you for the seven seeds.
All righty. So let's I guess it's time to throw in Florida State, Indiana, and Auburn.
Florida State, Indiana, and Auburn. Okay.
And then I think we've got everybody out of that tier on my chart. And then I guess we'll go back and throw Ole Miss as the last seven seed.
Okay, so you're still not going Iowa or NC State at this point.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought we would have Iowa in. So I would have Iowa above Auburn. So I'd have Florida State, Indiana, Iowa, Auburn in that order.
All right. Joby, what are your thoughts on that? Florida State, Indiana, Iowa, Auburn.
I think it's pretty good. Like I said, I do. The Indiana three-game losing streak concerns me compared to, you know, some of their Big Ten brethren. When you look at, like, if Indiana were a stock and Purdue were a stock, you'd be buying Purdue and selling Indiana right now. I think Purdue's now overcome their their early season troubles. They have a lot of losses, but now they're starting to pick up those wins. I think the at Wisconsin win really shines to me, but also, you know, Iowa, Maryland, teams we already have in this field. I think those other games, the Notre Dame game, if it weren't for the Notre Dame game, I think it'd be a no-brainer beat Purdue. But I can live with Indiana here, and we're going to find out this weekend in West Lafayette. Yeah, I know it's Purdue home game. We're going to find out the answer to this question this weekend. All right, Hoosiers, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt until this weekend.
All right. I kind of think that line was pretty darn solid, actually. I really can't complain about anything about it at all, and I think we should leave it right as it is.
What about some of the schizophrenic teams that have monster wins like Syracuse?
Teams that would be good in the 8 or 9 seed range, right?
Or the 7. Or I still think Auburn is way too high based on what they've done. And another team I'd like to throw out there, because this is about where they belong when you look at their profile, is Virginia Tech, Chad.
David, I'm going to give you the next 4 teams. If you want to list Virginia Tech, then you have to give me 5 teams.
Well, okay, I would like to list Virginia Tech.
Okay.
I'm surprised that this is – I actually had them a line higher, but to be fair, and I hate conceding the point, I don't really know what to do with Schizocuse and Texas because, I mean, they're just – all over the place. This is about where they land.
I can't even type their name in, so how about that?
But I have them here, and we already have Iowa in, don't we? Florida yes. State's in.
Syracuse, Jesus. Texas.
Yeah, and
we have NC State under consideration. That's the only team.
NC State, I still don't have them. I have Seton Hall is the next team.
Okay, and one more.
Syracuse, Texas, Virginia Tech.
I said you give me 5, though.
That's okay. 4.
Already in.
Seton Hall, LSU's in. Is LSU in? Yeah, yep. LSU. God, I'm not doing a good job of following along.
Rocco mentioned Ole Miss.
I think Ole Miss or NC State's got to be this next team, quite honestly.
What about, and I know that this might seem high, but I don't know what to do with them, Arizona State.
Ooh.
You just don't put them here.
Arizona State?
Well, their good is pretty good. And
now, what do you see on the screen right here that nobody else that we're going to see at all tonight has? How about an NET rating in the 80s?
True. Ole Miss. I said Ole Miss.
Okay.
You thought I said Arizona State, but I said Ole Miss.
Now that we've fixed that problem, Tytel, what about those 4 teams here, Syracuse, Texas, The Hall, and Ole Miss?
I like them all a little lower, frankly, but I like Seton Hall. I think we should keep them there. I think that Texas is a little high. I think that Syracuse, this is another one where the committee is going to have to look at it because, like, if Reddish and Jones are healthy for 40 minutes, they do not win that game, and I won't accept it if you want to challenge me on that because they wouldn't have won that game.
Correct.
They may have actually won it by more, John. Like, this is Schizocuse. They may have won by even more points.
They were down 9-0 early. There's no way they would have won that game. Trust me.
Thank you.
Yeah. As far as the team we haven't talked about, I want to get St. John's at least in the conversation. They've beaten Marquette. They've beaten Creighton. They've beaten VCU. They've lost to mostly good teams and DePaul. I really think that I'm starting to believe in the St. John's Live team.
And, you know, and, like how he slid that in there.
But guys, yeah. You understand what St. John's has a quadrant three loss at home to DePaul. Texas and Syracuse both have multiple quadrant three losses at home.
Yeah.
Rocco, your thoughts on this whole debate?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have either of these teams ready for the seed range yet.
So where do we need to where do we need to be then? With Syracuse, okay. Texas,
okay. Syracuse, Texas, Seton Hall, Ole Miss. So, I mean,
John's.
I would put Purdue in here. To be honest,
I would too.
And then Ohio State after Purdue are my next two.
Okay, let's pull up those Purdue and the Ohio State profiles here. Joby, why shouldn't we have these guys in off of these teams?
You heard me. I was debating very closely on the prior line. Mine was, do I go Indiana or do I go Purdue?
Right.
I would have actually chosen Purdue, but I'm not fighting Indiana. It's a toss-up. But because it's a toss-up, Purdue would be my first team I'd name here. Okay. Ohio State, it's solid, boring, nine-seed resume. You know, I mean, you could throw them in with a bunch of others. Mississippi State, you know, has that boring nine-seed resume. I have no problem with Ohio State here. I do have a problem. Texas just has too many losses right now, and some of them are bad.
Yeah, I think Syracuse and Texas have to go on hold.
Texas has the potential to move up and into the field. Yes, I have them as my first team out right now. Second.
Wow. You don't even have
– It's because the overall record just hasn't – with the bad losses – doesn't have them, but I can see the argument for Texas as a play-in game candidate. I'd be totally fine with that. Here, no. They're just too much bad and not enough good.
Have
Ohio
we forgotten?
State doesn't have a ton. They lost to Chad Rutgers.
Chad, you've got to stop
messing
with my lines.
Minnesota is a good win because they're going to be in a line or two named. It's a good win, even if the net has them at 63. I think the Nets make him a mistake. I think Minnesota's really a 30s, you know, type team. So I like Ohio State in this spot probably. NC State, I'm still down on that damn out-of-conference schedule. And a lack of – and Auburn – Auburn's a good win. Pitt's a decent win at home, but it's at home. So –
All well, right. Chad, I think you need to put my original four.
I'm going to go with Ohio State here. I think the most compelling arguments I've heard have been in favor of them for this last spot, although it's kind of a garbage pick here at the 8 line, no matter which way we go. Let's see if we have Stalica now. No, we still don't have him.
we're going to get to Stalica for the play-in games by the time we get the – okay.
He'll be doing the first four for us. So let me go back around. Joby, you'd be up next, actually, for the next
– Okay. St. John's. Let's get St. John's off the board. I do agree with the arguments that were made on them. Mm-hmm. I mentioned Mississippi State is a boring nine-seed team. Let's put them in as a boring nine-seed team. They're a tournament team that deserves to be in, but – nothing really special.
Yeah, I would like to say that I have Mississippi State a little lower, but I am proud of this committee for not taking them before now.
This is about the point where Schizocuse gets in. Even with the – you could talk about the Trey Jones stuff, which is very legitimate, the Titel – but they've done it multiple times where they have the –
Let's put in teams that lose to Georgia Tech and Old Dominion at home. Okay.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, but they don't have as bad a record as Texas with their Radford loss and the Old Dominion type losses. And this is one I know will be criticized. No, I'm not going to go with the criticism just quite yet. I will go instead with the boring Minnesota pick.
No.
Okay, boring Minnesota pick. Well, Rocco, let me start with you on these picks here. I just took NC State off the board. They should still be on it. NC State still for four lines has been hanging in here. Whether they should go in?
Yeah, this is about where Auburn should be.
But David, I was asking Rocco.
Well, I'm just throwing out nuggets of information. Like, I mean, it's just wisdom on this is where Auburn should be.
I'm very close with Joby. I just have Arizona State one spot above Syracuse. It's the only difference. But I mean, that's
and we are recording this before Arizona State. We are recording this before Arizona State is actually, I believe, underway. They're up almost 9 on Oregon State early, but
that would help them.
That would help them.
Well, and that might, if that were to come, then I'd be more amenable to it. I'm not right now, but I'm amenable to it.
But since we're discussing Arizona State, Tytel, your thoughts on what's
Here's the advocate for Arizona State.
I've tried to go with you against Arizona State, actually. But.
Arizona State. No, put that resume back up. Do we have anyone with a Tier 4 loss in the field yet? Come on.
Thank you.
Tier 4 loss with a Tier 3 with two Tier 2s. I mean, it's like it's the bad is the bad is the bad. Yeah. But the good is great. They have two field wins.
But would you go Minnesota? Would you go Arizona State? Would you go NC State, Tytel? Would you go Texas?
You know the committee would do.
I kind of want to go, like, can we get the Cincy and TCU profiles up? I mean, I think we're missing some
teams. I'm sorry, which teams?
Cincinnati, TCU.
TCU is appalling, but, yeah, let's talk Cincinnati. Okay.
Yes. Are the Johnnies in yet? We
got yes, the Johnnies are in. Okay, Cincinnati has a nice win against Ole Miss and lost at East Carolina. TCU has beating no one's against anybody that's in the field, Tytel. Go ahead.
No one that will be in the field.
Yeah, I mean, you know what those resumes look a lot like? They look like Auburn's resume. Right there on the screen.
And Mississippi State.
Yeah.
Well, there is another American team.
Oh, we have Stalika. Stalika,
why am I bringing time for us here? Temple. Stalika enters the show as chat is buzzing.
I'll be honest. I think put up Temple versus TCU and you will choose Temple. I mean, I'm dead serious.
No, Joby took the words right out of my mouth as far as Temple because I'm surprised we haven't selected them yet.
Would you take Temple over Cincinnati then right now?
Right now I would. They're the only team that's beaten Houston anywhere so far. And they also have a win at Missouri, which is somewhat respectable. And
no, we're talking about wins against teams that are going to be in the field, Sleeka. So let's keep on the right topic here. But what about the team that was actually mentioned for this fourth spot, Minnesota, against this Temple team? Because they do have the win against Nebraska and at Wisconsin and against a Washington team that we probably discussed before we're done tonight.
Of course, they also did something that the Surgeon General would not recommend this year, and that was losing pretty badly at Illinois last night.
But at least they didn't lose to Princeton at home.
Yeah.
Joby, what about that? What about should Temple be over your Minnesota pick?
I wouldn't be offended by it. I think Temple is – look at Temple's losses. Yeah, VCU is going to be inside the bubble even if we say they're the at-large for the A-10. They're a 12-seed or better. It's a measure of good or bad. Yes, Temple only has the Houston win against the field, but they have no losses outside the at-large-ish field. And so that's reasonable. Minnesota, on the other hand, has more wins, including the great at Wisconsin win. But they lost, you know, the Illinois and Boston College losses, so they're 3-2. They're also one better, you know, in win totals versus outside the field. It's close. I'm fine either. I think they're similar resumes, even if they have different results. I think they get to the same finish line.
Okay, what about Mini over Mississippi State? Because I just don't think Mississippi State.
Look at Mississippi State's resume.
Metrics.
Yeah, it's not even about metrics. They actually have some wins over, especially a team we were just discussing. You know, I think Mississippi State's good here.
Wofford at Davis. They got the Cincinnati win.
The losses are. Yeah, you know, at South Carolina is no longer looking like a bad loss. You know. And they didn't lose to Princeton home. They just lost to a team that lost.
When you look at Whiskey, Nebraska at home, I just think that Minnie's a little bit better.
Yeah.
You know, and they lost to some good teams too in Boston College.
Arizona and Temple over Mississippi State, but I think Mississippi State's not far off of that. I think we're in the discussion.
Make a decision and put Minnesota up there.
I made the decision, David. You convinced me. Mini in Mississippi State out for now. and John Sleek
joined us. Oh, wow, I didn't think we were actually going to do it. Wow.
I did do it.
I actually listened to the puppet.
I tell you, the win at Wisconsin and the home win over Nebraska are a lot better than anything Mississippi State has done.
They got destroyed by a four-win team last night.
Well, okay. I mean, they have their
it's wars. It's only a quadrant two have their little. Come on.
Let's see if they lose it.
I think
they lose
it. Where's the recency bias?
It's a trend.
If it was recency bias, they wouldn't even be in the field. So,
and Ruck, if you look at the state of Illinois, they had a team in the Final Four last year.
Stalika, you're on the show. Why don't you give me four teams? Because these guys don't know what they're talking about.
I want to know in what country.
Is anybody still watching?
I want to know in what country Illinois would be considered a tier two team, because it wouldn't be the United States here.
Thank you, John. Thank you, John.
Okay, yeah, but John, can you go ahead and give me four teams?
But I think the 10 line is where we go with teams that are probably going to be more talented, where their resume hasn't caught up. I don't think we've mentioned NC State yet, even though they also had a pretty ugly loss at Wake. But
oh, we've still mentioned them.
They've been hanging in for a while, so I think we think they need to be in at this point. Go ahead.
No, I'm not. Well,
I think we also have to mention Mississippi State here. And up until now, I was prepared to mention Arizona, but I'm going to have to put them on the back burner. Sorry, John T.
They do have a home loss to Oregon now.
But in this case, I will add the Washington Huskies up there. And another team I don't think I've heard mentioned yet, and that's this Alabama team that's finally put together some wins against Missouri, Kentucky, even a Liberty win that's suddenly looking a little bit better.
Well, Texas still isn't in, Stalika.
Please put up Washington. And how many wins?
Rocco, you're a Washington guy. I want to ask you about this. Does Washington, with no wins against the field, belong in at this point?
I hope so.
Alabama.
I mean, the team's playing great right now. So, I mean, when you start getting into the bubble and comparing them to, you know, teams, even like comparing them to Minnesota, just kills me, because the game against Minnesota, the Huskies dominated the whole game and they lost on a rare three-pointer. And then, so now they're getting accused of not having a quality win. But the mountain trip sweep, where they won both games handily last week, they dominate Stanford tonight. They're playing good basketball. So I know resume is probably more important than playing good basketball, unfortunately. But, I mean, compared to like a UCF and compared to like a Temple, it's close.
I switched screens here to update it to show that they did just beat Stanford tonight. So, hey, yeah, another solid quadrant three home win.
Beat ASU.
Washington equals Nebraska and Penn State circa 2018. I mean, they are in trouble.
Tytel, do either of these teams belong in at this point or at any point here? Washington, and let's discuss Alabama also.
At this point, I think Bama is a little on the outside looking in, although the win over Kentucky is fantastic. As far as Washington, I mean, ask Rocco, like, who in the Pac-12 is going to beat them? I can't find anybody.
I hope you're right. And plus, losing to Gonzaga on the road by two, nobody does that. So, I mean, that deserves some respect.
And losing to a team that got blown out by Illinois. I mean, how about that?
Yeah, I just want to say that as we were talking about Washington, Lorenzo Womar had a close-up on my screen, and it was messing me up. thought it was in, like, the Twilight Zone.
Joby, are there teams that you would take instead of Washington and Alabama here?
Washington, and I really hate it because love you, Rocco, but you got to beat somebody, anybody, anybody, and there is zero. And unfortunately for you, unless the Arizona schools get their act together where you have that run, you know, through the Arizona, you're not going to get those opportunities. You're not in. You're not in my field if you can't beat anybody in the field. I know you should have beaten Minnesota. I know you played great at Gonzaga. I hate good losses. Don't mean anything to me.
Right. I'm with you. That's not gonna hold up in court. I agree. But
I apologize. I, will, I, will say, I respect it. I am.
I want to mention Joby.
All right, Alabama, I agree with. Okay. I agree with Alabama.
Okay, sorry. So Rocco, you had a point to then Joby, I'll go back to you.
I just want to mention going forward, Oregon just won at Arizona. They were already in the low 80s in the net, so they're going to go into the top 75. Oregon State's right around 75. So getting to play them four times total between those two schools, that could actually help Washington a lot.
They'll help Washington's metrics, but it's not going to give Washington wins against teams in the field.
Yeah, correct.
It'll give them wins.
Yeah. It'll give them tier one wins if you're on the road.
It'll be better than what Nebraska did last year. Right.
Well, David, yeah. David, okay. Who would be your fourth team on this line?
Texas.
Thank you.
I'm going to go with a team that beat Texas.
Oh, who's that?
See,
well, you're going to have to be more specific.
Yeah, there's a lot of teams.
There's a lot.
Bradford, that's what I'm saying. No, I'm dead serious when I say it. I think this is where the A-10 champ comes in.
VCU. I have them close to here. You're talking VCU, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they are inside my bubble.
Well, Stelica, since this was your line, let me give you one last chance
to respond. Old Dominion was a bad loss. I know it's going to pop up. Yeah. I know. Yeah, but still. At Texas, Temple, those are nice little
ones. So, Stelica, this was your line. Your thoughts on putting VCU and Texas in, or Texas in on this line instead of your choices?
I can go with Texas given some of the teams they've beaten, but at the same time, I'm also intrigued in a team like TCU or Texas Christian, but at the same time, no more Jalen Fisher this year. He is officially done.
Done for the year.
Yep.
Thinking chip.
All right. Well, I'm gonna side with David again. God, I can't believe how tough this is. That is let's leave Texas. I'm going to leave Texas in there. We have five spots left. So let me go with four more teams, and let me go, let's see here. That was just a little, Tytel, you're up next. Four more teams. We have four under consideration. We can go with anybody.
Great. Give the Pac-12 guy garbage time. I appreciate it. Get Washington in here. I mean, they're going to get wins because they're the best of a bad situation. So even though they're not going to be top 25 ranked team wins, the metrics are great. Thank you. I like TCU. I like Fisher as a player. I don't think they did so bad without him, so that I don't think his absence is going to affect them as much as an Azubuike or a Trey Jones injury or absence will affect the other teams. As far as two others that we have not yet gotten in here, do we have Cincinnati yet? I forget.
Nope.
I would like to nominate the Bearcats.
I think that's a good pick.
And I think that
great.
We are scraping the bottom of the barrel here. I will not go with another Pac-12 team because I think this is looking like a one-bid league. God help us.
That's if you want to throw in VCU, Pac-12 that's team fine. On the 11 line.
I would throw UCF's profile up next to VCU just to see which one looks better.
VCU's does. But go ahead and do it.
Yeah, TCU's profile is just
– Oh, VCU or TCU?
VCU. Virginia, we got Virginia Commonwealth on the left. I got Central Florida on the right, Tytel. I think I like Virginia Commonwealth a little better, but it's your pick here.
I mean, Joby is a big proponent of the non-conference strength of schedule, so VCU's number two in the nation. Let's go with the Rams.
All right, let's go with the Rams. And
especially around the – now I'm talking the committee. In committee history, especially around the bubble, more than like when you're talking the 4, 5, or 6 line, but when you're talking the 11 and 10 and whether you're in or not, out of conference schedule means a ton because that's a tiebreaker for actually getting in the field. Okay. So yeah, this is the place where you would out of conference schedule becomes very important.
Yeah. Chad, I'd like you to do something. I do not have TCU this high. And to demonstrate that, I would like to compare them to another team that I also do not have this high. Can we put them next to Lipscomb?
Yeah.
And if you don't think Lipscomb belongs here, then should we have TCU up here?
Yep.
Well, go ahead, Dave. I see that Lipscomb has won them head to head, and the resumes are otherwise fairly similar.
Yeah, and they also won at SMU, which is
both won at SMU. Yeah. Come on.
I think
TCU has the win over Baylor, which is not an awful win. That's a little helpful.
But I think they're really close because when you look at, I mean, you know, they swung for the moon with at Louisville and at Clemson and missed. And then TCU's losses are admittedly better, and they played better in those games. But I still like – I don't think either one of them should really be where, on the
– Well, who would you have there?
Maybe Belmont just has Lipscomb's number.
David, you want TCU not there. Tell me what team you do want there.
I would actually go with Arizona State.
Okay. Well, since I'm
like
I'm
just not gonna, really, just really infuriating.
Since I'm not going to agree with you on that one.
Okay, I got another one. Okay. The next team down, and it's a hard case to make, but I think they really are good, and it's Wofford.
Okay. But that wouldn't take an at-large spot, would it?
Wouldn't take an at-large spot.
This is where I have them in the 40 range.
And again, no one's going to send anybody that's
in the field. A hard case to make. I understand. But like when you look at the number of true road wins, I like that. None of their losses are really all that gross. I don't have them seated ahead of anybody that's beaten them. It's one of those things where I feel that it's there. Like when you have to pull back and look at what all they've done on the road and all that, but I do think that this Wofford team is really good.
Okay, well, let's do this. So there's three spots left. I'm going to listen to them one at a time. Rocco, let me start with you. Give me one team here because I'm not going to touch that 11 line.
Yeah, so I still have Arizona State easily the highest. Okay. Yeah.
All right, let's pull up that Arizona State profile real quick here. David, why don't you give me the next team that you would have up? If you want to say it's Wofford, that's fine. It doesn't have to be an at-large team.
It is Wofford.
Okay. Arizona State there on the left, Joby, you want to take a crack at it? Do you think Arizona State belongs in this field? Because that's the question now, really.
No.
Okay. Who would you have in then?
I just think those – I mean, it's one thing to have losses. It's one thing to have that. Mm-hmm. You know, it just really is. It's a different animal. I would have Wofford over them.
Okay.
But Wofford's the auto bid. Okay. Let's go with a creative one, a creative pick. I'm going to go with the team I mentioned on the Hoops HD report, that team to watch out for that no one's talking about that could get a bid. If this team continues to do in the A-10 what they've done to date, I know they barely beat Fordham yesterday or 2 days ago, but St. Louis, let's pull it up.
All right, and Tytel, let me ask you about that. What about putting St. Louis in versus Arizona State?
You twist my arm.
Or somebody else. Go ahead. Yeah.
No, it's a nice little profile. I'm a bit of a home court hero when you're 10-0 at home and 3-4 everywhere else. But
the best win is, though, a road win at Seton Hall.
Which is only by two, but still great. Beat two power conference teams. And I think that they're only going to get better. Like, they're really, I think, hitting their stride. As you can see, all these losses are November and December. And they have a nice little schedule in terms of a bunch of winnable games the rest of the way. I don't know if VCU and St. Louis can both sneak into a top 12 seed, but I think it's a nice little profile, and I'm all for having the Pac-12 be a one big conference this year.
Okay, so I'm going to go with St. Louis. I'm going to go with Joby's pick there. We still have two spots left. Stalika, Arizona State, UCF still on the board. Anybody else out there also?
I think one of the ironies is Joby's has always talked about the playing game in the past as a spot for schizophrenic teams, and Arizona State does fit that bill perfectly. Yeah. But funny. I am looking for a team that's a little more consistent, though, and they did lose to Wichita State last night. I'll still go with the Knights of Central Florida because their only real stinker is the home loss against Florida Atlantic, but they do have some decent wins against Temple and Alabama. I wish they could find a better road win than UConn, but that's not the worst thing in the world to have on your profile at this point.
David, would you agree with him? UCF here?
I don't have them quite that high, but at the very least, I can see that the argument could be made. I can't make a team. I can't make an argument for the team that I have up here, but because it's just as good as I think they are. Murray State's profile just has nothing on it, but God, are they good. What about Pittsburgh?
Yeah, that's who I was kind of thinking. Yeah.
There's Murray State on the left there, and again, nothing in the
top
two quadrants.
Yeah, it's lacking. It's got a few issues with it. Okay. But my God, look at that tier four. Woo! I mean,
four
wins.
They're Washington.
We've looked at. All night.
Washington in this field, and they're They're the same as Washington.
Okay. Well, let me, Rocco, let me ask you this question. I'm going to put the Arizona State team that you like there on the left with the tier four loss at home, and Pittsburgh are there on the right with the tier four loss at home. You tell me why Arizona State's better than Pitt.
Well, they beat a one seed, so that shows that they can beat the big boys. They beat Mississippi State, who we have as like an 8 or a 9, right?
Right.
And that was on a neutral court in Vegas. Impressive performance. And I hate defending these guys because, I mean, they really irritate me like they do to Titel. But I think they and they played Utah State when Utah State was red hot and beat them too. So, you know, it's just – if we're going to criticize Arizona State for having the bad losses, I think we need to relook at Alabama because Alabama has three tier three losses, but we already squeezed them.
We did get Alabama, and we got them in the 10 line.
Yeah, so I think they kind of squeezed in without being criticized in the same way that we're criticizing ASU. But Pittsburgh, on the other hand, they're hot. They got Florida State and Louisville, big wins, but they got them both, you know, with the Zoo right behind them. So – you know, it's tough. It's close. But I would still have Arizona State slightly higher.
Yeah,
Pitt better get some quality wins, though, because that non-conference strength of schedule, 275, that's not a good number.
Chad, there is another team I want to look at. I don't think they're going to make our field because I just don't – I know our panel, and I know they probably won't take them. But what about the Dons? Let's at least pull them up and look at them.
Okay, they did squeak out a 1-point win against Pacific tonight. So
and that's what put it over the top. I mean, they held on to avoid the bad loss.
Obviously, a problem here with the schedule, their upcoming schedule not showing.
I mean, that is looking pretty rough. Wow.
But putting that aside, the fact that there's a missing schedule, the profile
is. You can see the net ratings for all those teams. See Gonzaga 5.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, not hard to figure out where Gonzaga should go.
Yeah, but there's not a lot of opportunity besides Gonzaga.
Yeah, Titel, we got the one spot left. You want to try to act as our tiebreaker here? Arizona State, Pittsburgh, Murray State was mentioned. San Francisco was mentioned. Somebody else.
I would just like to see, like, just for a sheer enjoyment of the game, to get Murray State in there. If you have not seen Demetrius Jamorant, he's amazing. He's leading the nation assists. He's dunking over everybody. And to see him play like a big-time five seed from a power conference or to go head-to-head with like the Martin Twins at Nevada, like that would be such an entertaining 5-12 game.
Well, you know, I think we got to freeze this moment and save it. Titel, all the years we do these shows, this is the first time you've ever argued for the under-the-radar team at the very end of the bracket.
Because usually there's a Pac-12 team I'd like instead.
On that note, Sleeka, let me let you have the final call here. Give me the final team in our field because Murray State, even by putting them in, doesn't take up that last spot.
That is true, and this is where I probably would add that Arizona State because even with some of their bad losses, they have just enough quality wins there to at least give them one more shot here, but their margin for error is just about depleted now.
Arizona State takes our final spot, but let me run through each of you. Any other teams besides Pitt and San Francisco that you think are close to the field? David, let me start with you. Who would be the next couple teams out besides those?
Close. The ones that I like the most just aren't going to get there. I really like this Lipscomb team. Well, but
actually, I'll go ahead and put Lipscomb in because they would be an auto bid winner anyhow. So let's do that right there.
If they don't, they're not going to get there just because they don't have the opportunity. So one of their – as many games as they may win, one of them better be the last one. Belmont, similar situation. Hofstra is another team that's really on fire right now. But, again, they're not going to get there. They don't play anybody that's – they might play a smattering of CIT teams, if that. So no matter how good they look, no matter what they do between now and the end, they're just not going to get there.
They should win the auto bid, though. They are the
They should win the auto bid. We put UCF in, but – at this point, I know that these are not teams that are in the field, but if you look at where I rank teams, I have a lot of under-the-radar teams before Florida, Butler, the types of teams that, while not as good, are going to have better opportunities and therefore have a better chance of getting in.
Okay. Well, Rocco, how about you? Is there anybody we haven't mentioned throwing Florida and Butler on there also that you think is close?
Yeah, I think a team that definitely should be in this final team conversation would be Furman still until they slip up. But right now their resume is pretty dang good. It's the three losses are all in the first group, and they've got the win at Villanova and at Loyola Chicago. So two wins over the field right now.
Right. There's that resume. Yeah.
All right,
Joby, how about you? Anybody else?
I'm glad Rocco said Furman because that's exactly it. They have played not necessarily the best. That's why KenPom has them at 95. In games, they're playing with fire. Sooner or later, it's going to catch up. But until it does, you have to go with what has happened to date, and that's why I like Rocco's Furman. The other team, let's make it – while there is no way all three of these teams can make it from Wofford, Furman, let's throw one more Southern SoCon team in, UNC Greensboro. It's the lack of bad. That kind of helps them. But a win over the aforementioned Furman is a nice one. And their losses at Kentucky, they actually were in that game for a big part of the game because I think we all saw. The LSU game, only a 6-point loss. They got blown out by Wofford, who's already in this field. But they actually – what UNC Greensboro represents, they're likely not to be able to fight their way in. But if they continue to not lose – then all of a sudden they become a really nice tier one, tier two win for the Furmans and Woffords of the world, which might allow actually an at-large out of the SoCon if either Furman or Wofford, they don't lose except to Greensboro or maybe East Tennessee State, who's also has good power ratings. Look out for the SoCon here.
I just threw the whole SoCon. I just threw the SoCon standings on the screen there because you see here, there's multiple chances for top 100 wins for these teams, which is unbelievably rare from a conference like this. Yeah. So that's something that could actually that we don't see this time of year from teams in the SoCon normally.
And I think they'll maintain it because it builds on each other. And Samford's not awful. And, like that. There's
did
not
they win tonight? I know they were playing Citadel.
They did.
Yeah, they won.
Okay.
They won tonight.
Yeah, the top four, need to continue to win and only lose to the others in the top four. But I think that's entirely possible, which then floats all boats upwards. I don't know if the committee has enough guts to do it, but the resumes will be there for Wofford and Furman. Furman needs to be one of the two teams because of the Villanova win, without a doubt. But and I don't know if Furman's the one who could probably slip up the easiest, but there is a chance, there is a definitive chance here that the SoCon could get in at large. It could be a two-bid lead if things work out. There's a lot of ifs there, but the ifs are there, which aren't there for any other under the radar league.
Okay. Tytel, anybody else that we've missed? John T, anybody else that we've missed discussing tonight?
No, but in terms of who we have discussed, I know Joby hates Florida with a red hot passion, but besides the GNG ratings, which I get the author of that, if you look at them compared to Ohio State, they're very similar. I'm not saying they beat Ohio State. I'm not saying they're better than Ohio State, but I don't think it's night and day.
Overall record is a killer. This is not Georgia. I mean, who have they beaten? They've beaten nobody.
Nobody
in this.
I get it.
But here you go. Then they're 9-7. So they're supposed to be Georgia 2001 part two. I mean, they're 16-14, 9-7 because they're playing the SEC. It's not like they're playing under radar where they're going to rack up the wins to get a great record. If they go 500, which if Ole Miss goes 500, they're in the field. If Florida goes 500, they're 16-14 with maybe a pickoff win here or there against the field, but they're not going to have the great resume that a 16-14 record is going to allow you in, or 17-15 if they win one and lose one in the SEC tournament.
All right. Let me go ahead and show the 13-16 teams. Let me throw them on the screen here. They should be populating any second now. There they are. Yeah. Georgia State and Hofstra team that we both mentioned tonight, followed by Stony Brook, Yale, Irvine, Marshall, all the way down Loyola.
I know we're rushing through these. If you want coverage of these teams, watch Under the Radar.
All the way down to Norfolk State. Sleek, I didn't give you a chance to mention anybody else, so let me do that now before we wrap this up.
They're not going to be on here right now at this checkpoint, but if they're able to continue winning games, keep an eye on teams like South Carolina and even Xavier. If for some ungodly reason they can win at Villanova. These are a couple sleeping giants here that are slowly starting to awaken. But
I'll tell you what, we mentioned it Monday night. Rocco, you mentioned a team that I think could be a sleeping giant, also Providence. So let's keep half an eye on them. I really like that mention on Monday night, Rocco. That was a...
Yeah, well, I just think that they have a solid roster. They have a really proven coach, and they fight every time out. Doesn't matter if it's against the ball or against Villanova, they bring it. And so I just feel like they've had a lot of bad luck this year, and they have enough time and enough opportunities to turn it around potentially.
All right. Well, on that note, I want to run through each of you for any of their final thoughts. And Rocco, since I'm with you, why don't I just start with you?
Yeah, I thought this was a very interesting exercise this evening. Because I think there's just a lot of mush in the different tiers of the bracket. I think we're pretty clear at the top, besides that last one seed possibly, and maybe a battle between Michigan and Virginia for the one overall seed. But that stuff should play itself out over time. Not as concerned there, but I think, you know, you can go from that four line all the way down to maybe even the eighth, and you can get a lot of different opinions on it, and it's really hard to feel firm at this point because we just don't have the data. We're going off, okay, they got two road wins over top 25, you know, but they're all of a sudden going from out of the field and up to the four line. It's just kind of nuts, but it just shows we don't have enough data. I really feel that confident about where these teams belong, but that's what makes it fun. So
yeah,
I enjoyed it.
Yep. How about John Tytel?
So there's been a lot of talk this week in the media about Zion Williamson and should he shut it down in terms of his college career. He's already proved what he needs to prove, and he's already going to be number one pick. Shame on him and shame on people for saying that. If you want to go to college and play college basketball, do that. If you don't, go to the G League, go to Europe. Like, I want him selfishly because I love seeing him dunk and play and dominate, but I think it would be a terrible message if he shuts it down for the rest of the season.
I agree completely.
I do too.
Joby.
Well, maybe, hopefully Virginia adds to that and becomes the second team with two great road wins this weekend to combine with the Maryland win. Hopefully Duke in the one versus one matchup. And this is interesting. It is the first one versus one. I know Duke's not really number one anymore with the loss to Syracuse, but AP number one versus coaches is never happened before.
With Kansas and Oklahoma a few years back? I thought it did.
I don't know if Oklahoma was number one at the time. If they got
the second game, I thought they were.
Yeah, I thought it was one versus one.
It's a weird anomaly, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, it'll be very interesting in bracket rundowns from here on out, and we kind of reference is, where do these one-loss teams land? There's going to be so much debate. Houston, Buffalo, Nevada. If these one-loss teams hold on, how high can they reach? Because they're not getting the number of quality wins in their conferences that the Virginias and the Dukes and the Kansases and all and even the Oklahomas that we just ran through real quick. It'll be very interesting to see what happens with the committee. They've rewarded the Gonzagas of the world, but will they reward a new dancer? A new person in this club if they run through with only one loss with a reasonable, not a ridiculous schedule, but a reasonable schedule.
Okay. Stalika.
I think one team that's playing as we speak that's probably being robbed of a chance to make some noise because of the Pac-12 is going to be Oregon State. They're actually getting blown out at Arizona State tonight, but kind of disappointing in one sense when you consider they've gotten off to a 3-0 start in league play with a win at a cross-state rival Oregon, as well as a sweep of UCLA and USC, but unfortunately not going to benefit from it much this year the way things are playing out.
All right. David, you want to finish us off?
Yeah. The biggest criticism I have is Buzz Williams. We all love Uncle Buzz. He's everybody's favorite crazy uncle. How can you not love Uncle Buzz? I mean, it's just wonderful stuff. But I don't under – they just haven't done anything that warrants being on the three line. And I kind of talked about this the other night. I do think that we got some of it right, like NC State, Auburn, Mississippi State, not putting them where the voters seem to be voting them. But Virginia Tech is another one that I just don't get. Maybe they'll end up there by the time it's over. But the way the exercise works, it's what have they done so far? And I'm just not seeing it. I mean, I know how committees work. Not every individual is going to agree with everything the committee does, but I can't see them on the three line. For God, I can't even see them anywhere close to that right now.
All right. Well, David, you could be wrong, and you are wrong. No, so, I'm right.
Just my wisdom is just what carries.
On that note, what I do want to know is let everybody know that if you look down below the podcast, you will see the final bracket of what we put together. We can't see it yet, but it will be down there. Yeah, and
it's weird. It's down there, but we can't see it yet.
And but on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. And on behalf of the full crew here, we've got John Tytel, Rocco Miller, check him out at bracketeer.org, Joby Fortson, John Slika, somewhere we got David Griggs. I'm Chad Sherwood. We'll talk to you again real soon.